Hello there. Before today's episode, we just want to take a moment to commend the remarkable efforts of the rescue workers and of the people in Taiwan. In the wake of the recent earthquake, their unwavering dedication and bravery have been nothing short of extraordinary. All these courageous folks, often risking their own safety, have tirelessly worked to save lives, provide aid, and offer comfort to those affected by the disaster, regardless of the challenges they face. Their tireless work helping others embodies the true spirit of compassion and humanity, and it shows the best of Taiwan. We extend our deepest gratitude to the rescuers and the rebuild effort, and condolences to those affected. We wish you all the best, Taiwan. Jiayou.
Li ho, li ho. What is good, everyone? This is the Taiwan Sentry here. I am the one from New Taipei, the greenest guy you can find, Yang. And I'm here with my brother from Tainan, the Brit. What up, my brother? What's good?
Hello, hello. How's it going? Lovely introduction. Throw some roots in there.
Oh, yeah. Every week I have to change it up every week. That way people will know who we are, man. We're diverse here, man.
Nice. How's it going?
Nothing much, man. You know, I'm going to Taiwan next week, so I can't wait to go. I need to ask you a question.
Sure.
In Tainan, there is a museum for Taiwanese history. Have you been there before?
I have, yeah. Recommended.
So I'm going there. Me and my wife are going there together because I told her, I said, when we're in Tainan, we have to go together. So I'm going, so I'm excited to go to that museum.
Sounds good. Send me some pictures. And talking of Taiwan, well, what should we talk about this week?
A lot this week. The Bumbler, Mind Joe.
Our favorite friends, the Kuomintang, KMT.
Along with the South Line movement. So what's on your mind about that, my brother?
Oh, I mean, it's the anniversary of the Sunflower Movement at the moment, isn't it? Is it 10 years
Yes,
ago?
It is. Yes. And let me ask, where were you at 10 years ago?
Where was I 10 years ago? I was, oh, blimey, that is a long time ago. I think I was on tour in Ireland with a musical production. How about yourself?
I was in my dorm room, and I was watching Taiwanese news on my old laptop. I was watching silently at the time. And it said, breaking news. Students occupy the legislature. I said, they did what? And I had to do my research at the time. And I said, I support him 100%. Because during that time, the KMT was trying to pass this shady bill called ECFA, basically a trade agreement that would have linked Taiwan's economy with China. And it would have gave China a...
services agreement, right?
Yes, that one. And what that would have done was that it would have negatively impacted Taiwan's economy by making it intertwined with China. This is a classic Mind Joe move, because he thought that, if our economies are intertwined, war will never happen. But he didn't tell the people, if the economies are intertwined with China, China will have more control over the economy. It will allow them to send Chinese labor to Taiwan. It will allow the Chinese to invest more to Taiwanese businesses and whatnot, and basically make the Taiwanese people unemployed. So I am very, very thankful that the students and civil society during that time stood up and defended our nation's freedom and sovereignty and economy. Because if that would have passed, just imagine, it would have packed the 8 industries in Taiwan, from electronics, communication, information technology products.
It's surrounded by other means.
Yes.
So some people can get rich. I was working with a couple of people at the National Theater in Taipei recently who were involved with the Sunflower Movement. And most of them have since got into politics or something, right? Legislators, local mayors.
Yes.
That's where they all cut their teeth. Good for them.
Yes.
You know, 10 years and the KMT still haven't changed. I believe their vice chair, Sha Lian, Andrew Sha.
Yep.
He was recently over in China, wasn't he? Visiting old acquaintances, shall we say. And he's visiting the US now, isn't he?
Yes, he
both
is.
Sides. Yes. American defense and Chinese money. Oh, that sounds like a win-win. It's not how it works, I'm afraid. You slimy so-and-so. I tell you what, when he comes here, America should, of course, meet him. They should meet all sides. They shouldn't take sides in the discussion around Taiwan, but they should meet. He should meet someone appropriate for his attitude, position. Maybe like the vice chair of waste removal for DC or something, because I think that would be an appropriate character to match his own. And of course, our old friend, President Ma, currently there making peace, isn't he? Or so he thinks.
Yes. Ugh. Here's the thing about Ma Ying-jeou, okay? Ma Ying-jeou is the worst president Taiwan has ever had since Taiwan became a democracy in the 90s. That is truth. I'm going to tell you why he's horrible. Okay. Ma Ying-jeou only cares about his own legacy. Matt Fab, let's be honest with you. Ma Ying-jeou doesn't even have a legacy to even speak of. Besides the fake 1992 consensus, what legacy does Ma Ying-jeou have besides that fake consensus that Lee Teng-hui denied and that the DPP denied and that most Chinese people who are knowledgeable deny?
I mean, most KMT don't really admit that openly anymore. You know, I think if I remember correctly, even they moved away from that. But what did we gain? Let me ask you that, because he went to China, you know, but what came across as cap in hand, we will give you all of our stuff. And in return, China will give us blah, blah, blah. Did we get any of that?
We did not. Here's what happened here. Here's what happened. Going back to the ECFA again, at the time, the KMT branded that as the only way to save Taiwan's economy, but it did not benefit Taiwan economically. Only thing it did was increase cheap imports of Chinese products to Taiwan. It didn't give Taiwanese SMEs or small, medium enterprises the opportunity to reap the benefits of greater cross-strait economic benefits. Because you have to remember, like 80 or 90% of Taiwanese economy is based on SMEs. And the only ones that benefited from cross-strait trade was like the big conglomerates, like Wanwan Times and other these big businesses that has business interests in China. So didn't get anything from that. And let me ask you a question. The ECFA, the low service agreement, China is a big economy. Taiwan's a small economy. So the ECFA doesn't have any benefits to China. So what is China getting out of that deal?
That's a good question. I mean, I think Taiwan's economy punches well above its weight. And, you know, the southbound policy that the outgoing president kicked in certainly seems to be showing fruit, shall we say. So we don't sell a few more pineapples to China anymore. Well, you know, there is nothing to be gained from working in that market. I think even a lot of hardcore businessmen have started to leave now. You know, I was speaking to some friends in Shanghai recently, and they were saying how dire it is for medium and small businesses there at the moment, and both renters and house sellers and buyers. It's all going downhill, man.
Right. And speaking about the southbound policy that President Tsai Ing-wen has done, she actually helped decrease Taiwan's dependence on China. It was from 43% to 35.4%, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
I want to be less than that, but that's better than 43%. 35, I don't like that number. I want it to be like 10 3.5. Or less than that. 3.5 or something less than that, because
Japan's doing a similar thing, right? Sorry, I cut you off there. I know Japan's working on its energy dependence, something which, you know, Taiwan needs to start being smart about too, and seems to be lacking. I don't want to go on my own segue about nuclear power here, but we'll cover that in another episode.
Yes,
I know Japan used to be like 50 plus percent dependency on imported everything in terms of power, most of which came from China, and that has now reduced to, I can't remember if it was 35, 40, but a lot more countries have seen the light and that they should be leaving. You know, it'd be nice for American businesses to do the same, but one step at a time.
Right. And speaking about the southbound policy, I just looked up the number here. Since China went into office, trade with U.S., Japan, and ASEAN, which is, you know, southbound policy countries, it has gone up. And altogether, it's 42.3% to 35.4%. So that is wonderful news right there for the Taiwanese economy. Because here's, I'm going to tell you something.
I wonder if my that includes India.
Yes, that does include India as well. But okay. I'm going to check that. I'm going to verify that. But speaking of that, me, my old lady, my old lady, she is a pan blue person, but she's not Hong Kong Yu blue. And what happened was that me and her were talking the other day about the Taiwanese economy. She said, but what about the businessmen who rely on the Chinese economy? And I told her, I said, you want your economy to be diverse as much as possible. You don't want to rely on one economy. Those people that rely on the Chinese tourists to come, they're not giving any benefits. It's actually a negative, negative net.
Yeah, and they become more, it comes with a lot of, like, doing any deal with China comes with a lot of strings attached and a lot of risk, you know, because the more they control your economy, the more they can twist that and your government to their advantage. And I think we've seen that on quite a lot of occasions around the South China Sea.
Right.
And a lot more countries are going, maybe enough is enough. I'd be interested to see what happens with the new trade pact. I think it was foolish of Taiwan not to anticipate China was putting in their application and, you know, to do it the week later. I think that was Taiwan dropped the ball there a little bit and should have had this. They should have been the first ones to apply for this trade deal, get in there, and then it could have been a bit more substantial. We all now know how the result's going to go, which is most likely China will get in, and then, of course, Taiwan will not, and we will have to come up with some other minor workaround to be able to have access to those kind of markets. It's just not worth the deal doing business with them. I mean, I will admit, I in the past have had business dealings with China, and I've walked away from them. I could be making a fortune in arts and the theatre there, but I just don't want any of the hassle of the risks that come with it. And it's also a matter of principle. Why are we buying the rope to hang ourselves? You know, look at Wall Street, who still do that.
I hate Wall Street with a passion. Did you see that American businessman went to Beijing and saw Xi Jinping and basically bowed down to him?
Oh, let me guess. It was Apple. It's got to have been Apple.
It was a lot of them. I know BlackRock was one of them. BlackRock is like this big, I forgot what field they in. I think it has to do with investment. They were there. A lot of these little CEOs were there in China. And I want to ask these people, don't you see the trend that's going on right now?
Blinded by RMBs.
Yes, and I hate that. Because the fact is this. The world knows that China's economy is about to crash very soon. China has a housing bubble right now. And why would you want to invest your money into that? China is basically begging the world to invest in your economy. But at the same time, though, these businesses are saying, look what you're doing to your own economy. You basically are raiding these foreign companies in China. He's basically stealing their property theft. Let me tell you a story too. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he has shoes called Jordans. They're really big in America. Costs about $400 to buy a pair.
And original Jordan, Space Jam man, right?
Yes, Michael Jordan. Okay. Yes.
Showing my sports skills and age there. Go on.
And he filed a case in China because a Chinese company. Yes, now you remember. You know where I'm going with this, right? They had a shoe called Jordan, which is the Mandarin for Jordan, and it had the ugly logo for the shoe. And the Chinese court said, "Well, there is this different, therefore we allow it." So, if you are an American company, Chinese is going to steal your technology, and they're going to make it to their own. Chinese said, "Oh, that's innovation." No, it's not. That's stealing.
It's theft. Yeah, you get all of the bonus without having doing any of the research or development. It's really shady. And it to is. My knowledge, that doesn't happen in Taiwan. Like, I know a lot of Taiwan businesses have to do joint venture too. You know, that's something we've been talking about in the UK this week. There was the Labour Friends of Taiwan parliamentary group visited Taiwan. And they thoroughly enjoyed the whiskey, may I say? Of course, who wouldn't?
But
they were saying, you know, it's for them, it's a good idea to engage with Taiwan a little bit more, to be working with them in joint ventures, because you do often need joint ventures here, but you don't have to hand over all your IP. Whereas that's the difference in China. You do hand over your IP. Where do you think the Maglev came from? Where do you think Shanghai Disney came from? They handed over all of that and reaped, you know, these Western companies didn't reap as much profit as they would have thought.
No, of course not. No. And they don't understand that. It's like, if everybody's leaving China, why you won't go into China? You think that, oh, if everybody left, we can have more of the Chinese market. But people don't know. People don't understand this. The Chinese economy is big, but the market is small, because the market is controlled by the CCP.
They
don't know that.
Falsely exaggerated. But let me ask you. So, you know, we have our dear friends in the KMT running the legislature at the moment, and do we think they're going to try and push through some more kind of trade deals as they claim it maintains peace, which is a little bit European, you know, peace through trade, but it isn't working very well for anyone. It certainly won't help Taiwan, and it really isn't helping Europe.
No,
and I say
not.
That as a European.
Sure. Here's the thing with the KMT. The KMT needs to understand that if you try to push this again, what's going to happen is that you get the Sunflower Movie 2.0, hopefully, because you tried. This is the same movie, but part two of it. You fail once, you fail again. The thing about that deal was that you try to pass it under 30 seconds, but the fact is that, thankfully for the students and society at the time, those civil society, they prevented it from happening. Because let me tell you about ECA directly. ECA is the same as the Hong Kong trade agreement that they had with China, called Hong Kong's Close Economic Partnership Arrangement. Basically, it's the same as ECFA. And think about those two trade deals is that it has to go to the WTO. Trade deal has to go for the WTO for them to review, make sure everything is fair and whatnot. These two did not go for the WTO. So basically, it is the degrading Taiwan's sovereignty. So why would you want to push this, knowing well that it's going to have a negative effect on Taiwan's economy? But the KMT don't care. They care about their own interests. And the TPP is making it worse, because they have a revisionist history. Yes, like could we just say, well, we was against the process, but not the trade deal. Wait a minute, you were against the trade deal and the process.
He's against whatever scores him the most points on the day. There's no character to him.
Nope, he's an opportunist, like him and Hong Guo Chang and all those people in the TPP. Basically, the TPP is the KMT, but light blue. That's all it is.
What do you think Biden recently... created something called the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for Prosperity, which is quite a mouthful, IPEF, which was supposed to, I believe, rival the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. Not that one, the TPP.
TPP, the original one. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that America pulled out of, and now they've come up with this new economic framework, which includes a lot of allies in the region and the, you know, key swing state people, Vietnam, Indonesia, who could be in either orbit. Do you think this will be a good thing for Taiwan? I'm not sure if Taiwan's actually a part of this, but I would certainly hope they're being spoken to at some point.
Let me say something about America pulling out of TPP. That was the dumbest decision that the Trump administration could ever make. They made a lot of dumb decisions, but this is one of the dumbest they could ever do. I understand at the time Americans didn't like trade deals, because at the time America was in its populism stage, saying
America's
that old trade deal.
Quite populist and protectionist, right?
Yes. So they thought, oh, these trade deals hurt our country. They pull out of TPP. But the fact is that by you pulling out of TPP, you basically giving China more power by doing that. If you would stay in TPP and built on it, it would have been able to rival RCEP, which is a trade block that China created as well. But no, you pulled out of it, and now look at us now. Now you're making that Indo-Pacific one. Here's my thing. Taiwan should have joined a long time ago, but what I've been told by people is like, oh, Taiwan joins and half the countries won't join it because they think it's an anti-China bloc.
I think fortress market economy America doesn't really work, and now you're having to kind of hide behind tariffs, whereas 8 years ago you would have had control. But you know, I'm not sure how much of that, it doesn't matter in hindsight, right? It's going forward, right? how we can help Taiwan with that. What do you think of the Taiwan-America trade deal? Do you think the KMT are going to find a way to scupper that? Or do you think they'll be in support of that? I don't think they're going to make that much money from it, whereas, you know, the regular people, the voters, potentially will. So, you know, therein lies the problem of politics, right? Corruption.
Yes, this is what we're pushing right now in Ohio through FABA, because we believe in the double taxation should have been gone a long time ago, because double taxation is ridiculous. Why should 50? Here's the thing. When Chinese companies invest in America, they pay 51% of taxes, which is insane. That's 10% more than South Korea and Australia. Yeah. If you get rid of the double taxation, it will allow Chinese businesses to invest in America and vice versa, and that will create more jobs for both our countries. So those should be got rid of a long time ago. But America up their butt. They think that, oh, if you trade with China, anything will be flowers and daisies, but that's not the case. So yes, I support the trade deal. The fact is that the KMT needs to understand, if you try to repeal that, you think Washington is going to forget that? Think about Washington, is that they don't forget things. Do you remember back in 2014 when Ma Ying-jeou was in office? A lot of people in Washington thought Taiwan was gone. They was concerned about Taiwan. They said, oh, Taiwan's going to be in China's orbit before the Sunflower Movement. And Washington did not forget about that at all. That's why Washington would never admit this, okay? Because Washington has to be bipartisan, has to be political neutral. Washington was happy with the DPP one in 2016, 2020, and 2024. Yes, because DPP fits Washington's national interest. They would never admit that publicly, but we know. Because if the KMT would have won, they would have been really pissed off about it.
Yeah. Do you think anyone in America believed Eric Chu when he reopened the KMT liaison office? You know, he's like, we're here, we're back. And then there was this speech about selective parts of friendship where, you know, they kind of avoided some of the past history of America, Taiwan, selected the best bits. Oh, we've always been friends. Now, America surely isn't swallowing what they're selling.
No, not at all.
Because you can clearly see with their actions when they go back to the legislature that, okay, here's what we're going to push. Here's our agenda. And all of it is not this consistently pro-America-friendly nonsense that they spout.
No, not at all. I'm going to tell you why. The KMT has this stupid slogan. Is it pro-American, friendly to Japan, harmony with China? That's what they always talk about, which is stupid, which is nonsense, because you're not
friendly to Japan. Let me translate that into English for you. Playing all sides so we line our pockets.
Bingo. That is exactly right. And the thing about playing all sides is that it's not going to go well at the end. In the short term, you get some benefits, but the long term, it's not going to happen, because at the end of the day, you got to choose your side. Are you going to be with pro-democracy like America, Japan, Philippines, South Korea? Or are you going to be with China, who's authoritarian, who wants to annex you? So Washington is stupid. Washington knows what the KMT is doing. Like, you remember back in 2021, I believe, that the KMT was against Chiang Wen lifted the ban on American pork, and they basically were saying, "Oh, if you do this, it's going to affect our children's health or whatever." And then America officials was basically telling Taiwan, "Hey, Americans eat pork every single day, and we're perfectly fine. You have to eat," because they were because America's officials are saying that you got to eat this amount of pork for it to actually affect your body. And the Kennedy said, oh, that is false. That is not science. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
What fascinates me about that as a European is most American food is banned there because it's just bleach, right? You know, there's a certain amount of rat and horse you're allowed in American meat for it to be sold to the public. And I very rarely will publicly admit to siding with anyone like the KMT, but I have to say that was both a dangerous move and a smart one. It was good for President Tsai because she got progress, right? She got to move forward. And the great thing about free market is Taiwanese can then pick and choose. They don't have to eat the US poison pork. The US pork, it is clean, it is tested. It's you get the option to pick. I think the KMT would have done the exact same thing had they been in that position, if they were so American friendly. But of course, they're just anything you can do, we can do better attitude. So well done on the president for allowing it. You know, it wasn't a major issue. I can see why the KMT had a concern, but I think American markets and business did alleviate that quite well. You know, it's like the nonsense of the Fukushima nuclear water, right? It's fine. It's safe. It's no more radiation than flying on a plane. But China kicking up the fuss is just point scoring at best, I suppose.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about the false 1992 consensus?
I don't believe there has ever been a 1992 consensus, is there? I think there was a conversation between two men who both believed they were Chinese, and then one of those men decided to come and tell everyone in Taiwan that that was a thing. How about you?
To me, it's a false consensus because it doesn't exist. If it existed, then why would the KMT need to reiterate every single time? Let me tell you what a consensus is. For example, Britt, if I were to tell you, hey, Britt, let's go to Pittsburgh. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Let's go to this pub. Let's go have a pint. Let's eat some fish and chips and watch Chelsea versus Manchester. That's the consensus. You say, okay, I agree with that consensus. I agree with that 100%. Consensus right there. This is not a consensus here because the KMT always said, oh, one China, different interpretations, but the CCP never endorsed that ever. So that's not a consensus there. It's people, it's basically he say, she say stuff. It's not consistent here. So it's basically a big lie to gain economic quote-unquote benefits from China, but there's no benefits to be intertwined with China. So it's basically nonsense. And here's what's going to happen. That bumbler is going to meet up with Xi Jinping on Monday. They're both going to say, 1992 consensus brought peace to the Taiwan Strait. No, it did not. Because here's why it didn't. Because during that time, China was still increasing missiles numbers pointing to Taiwan from 1,000 to 1,400. So there wasn't no peace at all.
Yeah, I think what kept the peace was F-16s, quite frankly. Where do you think the TPP stand on all of this? Because obviously they didn't exist back then. And now they are a political force, if you will. Do you think they're going to side with any kind of push towards a market move with China? Or do you think they will go the other way and save their party?
The TPP is what Kuo-Ja thinks. If the TPP one day opposes 1992 consensus because Kuo-Ja opposes it, it's Kuo-Ja's party. It's like the People's First Party with Song Chu-yu or James Song in English, whatever he thinks is the policy of that party. What I mean by that is that he can flip out one day. He can say, oh, we support the 1992 consensus. Oh, we don't support it one day. It's like he's not consistent with that viewpoint. If you look at the TPP, they're very vague anyway. It's like, I don't know what they believe. For example, they want to pass this, the ECFA, but they want to increase Taiwan's defense budget by 3%. So it's like, okay, what's your view here? Where do your values lie? And I don't see it from the TPP as of right now under Kuo-Ja. Maybe if one day he gives up being chairman, we could see a vision from them, but I don't see them a vision on these issues because they're very vague for political reasons because they want to, like you said, they want to play both sides. They say, oh, we for this, but we for that as well. It's like, no, you got to be one for something against the other. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, very true. We will see what they decide to do. What do you think, if anything, will be new if they try and repush this deal? Do you think they will try and get more promises out of China? I mean, I know China's very much like, look at the recent flight incident. They moved the flight closer to the flight path closer to Taiwan. They created their own bargaining chip, and I kind of feel like dealing with them in a market is very much that. It's like, okay, we're gonna sell you 10 potatoes if you sign here, and then when you sign, you only get 6 potatoes, and they say, well, you know, 4 potatoes were for the people. Oh, 2 potatoes are tax. So really, you can only have these 4 potatoes. But because of insurrectionist forces, we're only really going to give you 1 potato. So they're not capable of sticking to a contract or deal you make with them. I'm curious as to why the KMT, with clear evidence that China cannot be held accountable or has, you know, the trust to stick to a deal, why they consistently try to push these deals rather than wake themselves up.
Because China is their handler. China is their master. What China says they're going to do, and that's the honest truth. Because the KMT, here's the thing, I'm going to give you a little bit of history here, not too much history. If the KMT would have continued under the leadership of Lee Donghui back in the 90s, the KMT wouldn't have this problem today. Because the KMT will be pro-Taiwan today. They wouldn't have this China backing, but because of Lian Zhen going to China back in 05 and basically shaking hands with Hu Jintao back in the day, it basically sealed the KMT's fate. So from that time, they will always be pro-China because they made the bet with the CCP that they sleep with right now. They're going to continue to lie to the Taiwanese people about what can we get from China. But if you actually look at the facts, they're not going to get anything from China. We'll get the same old, same old. Yeah, you're going to have more Chinese tourists to come to Taiwan, which I don't like. You're going to have more imports. You're going to have this and that, more peripheral terrorists, whatever, all that. But it's the same old, same old. It's nothing new. So I don't get where we're getting from that. Well, China going to say, well, if you push this through, we will let you in the WHO. But if you look at the stats here from 09 to 2020. No, but I'm going to give you a troubling stat here.
Go on.
From 2009 to 2020, Taiwan applied to participate in 199 WHO technical meetings, but only received invitations to 64.
Oh, I mean, 64, honestly, is higher than I thought it would be, but still quite embarrassing. It's along the lines of UN buildings, right? Taiwanese passport holders are not allowed on UN premises anywhere in the world, including those on US soil, which America pays for. It's a bit of a joke. What about Ho Yo-i? I don't see him as being a very pro-China man. You know, he speaks Taiwanese. He was friends with Chen Shui-bian. He's served Taiwan quite well as a police guy. He certainly wasn't going to be a good president, but I don't think he's a bad man. Do you think had he won, he would have been pushing more kind of pro-China narrative? Because he seemed to me he would have struck the same kind of, let's just stay in the middle status quo here. I don't want to rock the boat. But maybe that's because he didn't really have the power base to rock the boat, unlike President Ma, former President Ma, thankfully.
Thing about Ho Yo-i is that his vice president was Zhao Xiaokan. And
true.
Zhao Xiaokan,
I forgot about him.
Basically, Zhao Xiaokan told people in November, hey, I'm going to be a more vocal vice president. So what that means is that he would have more
influence. He would have basically undercut Ho Yo-i and just silenced him.
I'm going to use a terminology here in American politics. He would have been the Dick Cheney of Ho Yo-i. Basically, he would have been Dick Cheney and Ho Yo-i would have been Bush. Basically, what I mean by that is people have alleged that George W. Bush didn't have power. It's basically Dick Cheney ran the country. It would have been just like that. Because Ho Yo-i, he was a policeman. He's new Taipei mayor, but at the same time, though, he was politically weak compared to Zhao Xiaokan. So Zhao Xiaokan would have been running the cabinet. It would have been a lot of pro-China nonsense coming from him and less for Taiwan. Because look what happened. After Zhao Xiaokan joined the campaign, you start seeing Ho Yo-i becoming more pro-China. Before that, he wasn't like that. So yeah, so Ho Yui that is weak. I mean, nobody KMT, you can have Wang Jinping, you can have Ho Yui, you can have anybody else. They're gonna be weak because the KMT's mainland faction still controls the KMT and the internet land though.
They have to die eventually, man.
They won't right now.
you're Shinbeiren, right? Was he a good yes. Shinbei mayor? He seemed like a good mayor.
Depending on who you ask, to me, he's okay. He's not something to brag about. It's like he's something now. Like I'm not gonna say he's not like Liu Xiaoyan. He's not like her. Like in Taichung, he's not like her. Who was? I gotta give her credit. She has a high approval rate. She has like about a 71% approval rate in Taichung. He's not like that. Blimey. No.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that is impressive in Taichung. Look what she did in Taichung. It's impressive. Like, I give her respect for that part. But
always welcome to come to Tainan. Our mayors are a little self-centered, shall we say. But they're on the right side, so that'll do.
Right, you have Huang Weizhe. I wonder who's going to run. Who? Let me ask you a question. Who do you think should be the next Tainan mayor?
I have no idea. Ask me again at the end of summer. Let me go back and talk to some of them.
Okay, I will do so because because Huang Weizhe, he's okay. He's not something to brag about. Yeah, he follows me on Twitter, which I'm real thankful for. But he is real boring to me.
There's not a lot I can say on this podcast without getting us in trouble. So let's just call that a day. we'll cover that another time, I'm sure. I will think of a diplomatic way to talk about that man. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. That was another exciting episode. And I hope we will see you next week. It's goodbye from me.
We'll see you soon.